11 minutes past one now. Here's Anthony.
And the widow of an assisted suicide campaigner has lost her latest legal battle against the UK government. Jane Nicholson bought the case on behalf of her husband Tony, who had locked-in syndrome and died in 2012, a few days after the High Court refused to let doctors help him take his own life. Now, she argued their human rights were violated, but the European Court of Human Rights has ruled the case is inadmissible. Well, let's try and speak to Peter Saunders now. He's the General Secretary at the Christian Medical Fellowship and a member of the group Care Not Care, which campaigns against assisted suicide. Let's see if we can speak to him and try and get his opinion on this.
Hello.
Hi, is that Peter?
Yep.
Hi, Peter. It's Anthony from Premier Christian Radio here. I'm live in our NewsHour programme. We're discussing this judgment by the European Court of Human Rights and the Right to Die case. You must be pleased. Were you expecting this verdict?
Yes, we were pleased with the judgment. We think it's a very wise one, and the European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg has actually upheld the decision of all the courts in the UK, starting with the High Court, the Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court last year, that the Suicide Act, which prevents assisting a suicide, is not incompatible with the right to private and family life. And so that is the end of the matter. Tony Nicholson's widow and Paul Lamb have come to the end of the road, with this one having exhausted every court in Europe.
But of course, many people don't agree with that viewpoint. And just stay on the line for us, Peter, because I want to hear now from the British Humanist Society. I've got Pavan Dhaliwal, the Director of Public Affairs and Campaigns, has been speaking to Premier's Des Busteed.
Of course, it's disappointing that what they've done essentially is pass the buck back to our own courts and Parliament here, who we know haven't acted on this issue. But that, of course, doesn't rule out the possibility of Parliament acting on this issue, or indeed the Supreme Court considering the issue again.
When you say they've passed the buck back to the UK, what do you mean by that? Because they say the decision is final.
Yes, the decision is final in relation to the European Court of Human Rights. So they're saying that it's inadmissible there. So what they're saying is that you couldn't bring the case back to the European Court. They're saying that the Supreme Court considered the issue here. And what was clear in the Supreme Court's ruling last year was that they said that they would expect Parliament to consider these issues. But in the absence of them doing that, if a similar case was brought back to them again, then it is within their jurisdiction to make a ruling.
When you say it's disappointing, what do you mean by that? What are you exactly disappointed about?
Well, it's disappointing that, again, like I said, the buck has been passed back to Parliament and the UK courts, as opposed to Strasbourg making a sort of overarching ruling on this issue. That's what they've essentially done. They've passed it back. And so it's disappointing, mainly because what it does is prolong, again, the suffering of people up and down the country who want access to a doctor-assisted death. We've seen in the news today that, you know, people are trying to fundraise to get family members to Dignitas. I mean, we can't continue with the situation where we're continuously exporting our suffering to other countries because of an absence of a humane assisted dying law in this country.
But some would argue that there's not the political will nor the public support for it.
The public support is over 82%. That's absolutely inaccurate. What is accurate, what you've just said, is that the political will isn't there, but there is absolutely overwhelming public support for change in the law in this area. And poll after poll has demonstrated that.
Just finally, you mentioned there that the European Court has passed the buck back. Are you suggesting that it was a political decision that the European Court made its ruling on?
No, not at all. I'm certainly not passing any judgment like that. But that is the fact of the case, is that they have passed the buck back on this issue, saying that it's something for our domestic courts to consider and Parliament here.
So, Peter, thank you for waiting on the line there. What about that claim then? Is it time for Westminster to give some legislation on this matter?
Sorry, are you asking me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the European Court was asked to declare whether the Suicide Act was incompatible with their claim to private and family life, and they've said no. Now, of course, there are domestic routes that they could go through. Another separate case, but not that of Nicholson and Lamb, might try their luck with the British courts again, but I think it's unlikely to succeed. Or alternatively, the case could be brought back to Parliament. And of course, we had Lord Falconer's bill last year, which ran out of parliamentary time before the election, and we've got Rob Maris's assisted dying bill coming up for its second reading on the 11th of September this year. So this is a matter which the courts have repeatedly reviewed in Britain, and which Parliament has looked at again and again and will be reviewing again this year. And the proper place to make laws about Britain is not in the European Supreme Court. It's actually a democratically elected Parliament in the UK who will be looking at it. Now, the reason that every time this is ever brought forward is rejected is because the views of parliamentarians and of the medical profession and of disability rights groups and many other advocacy groups, including Care Not Killing, which I represent, is that any change in the law to allow assisted suicide in any circumstances at all would inevitably place pressure on elderly, disabled people to end their lives for fear of being a burden on others or the state. So it's public safety issues. The law we have at the moment is clear and right. It holds a clear line, and it also gives a huge amount of discretion both to judges and to prosecutors to temper justice with mercy in hard cases. It doesn't need changing. And of course, there are always people who will be unhappy with the law, but this has been looked at repeatedly and on public safety grounds. But we've gone down this route. And I think the answer to the poor lady in Cardiff who people are giving money to in order that she can come and kill herself with motor neurone disease in Switzerland is why don't these people who are so enthusiastic give money to the motor neurone disease charity or for this woman's good care? Because the overwhelming majority of people, even with motor neurone disease, and let's remember 1,000 of them die every year in Britain, they don't want assisted dying, they want assisted living. And that's where we should be putting our money and our mouths on this issue.
Peter, I want to ask you, because you did say there about there are some people who might not agree with the law, but Pavan Dhaliwal from the British Humanist Society did make a point when she said that the majority of the public were in favour. I mean, we've got a poll here from YouGov in 2013 for the Westminster Faith Debates. 4,500 people showed that majorities of Anglicans, Catholic, Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Methodists and Pentecostals are all in favour of changing the law. I mean, that's hard to argue with.
Well, it depends pretty much how you ask the question, and we don't go by public opinion on other issues. I mean, most people want the death penalty back. We don't go with that because we believe that the danger of any mistakes outweighs any advantage you might possibly see in that. And this is why these issues are delegated to people in Parliament to be able to weigh all the issues, and unanimously and repeatedly they have decided not to go this route. There was another poll last year that Communicate Research, Comres, carried out, which showed that 70-80% in favour very quickly dissipates once people have heard the key arguments against changing the law. So it's not well considered public opinion. It's reflex public opinion that is largely engineered and fueled by hard cases. But when the thing is looked at in the cold light of day, a much, much greater number of vulnerable people would be at risk from a change in the law than are disappointed by the way the law is now. The reason we have laws is because we realize that there are limits to human autonomy and choice, and we're not entitled to so-called rights that undermine or violate the reasonable freedoms of others. And that's what a change in the law would do, I'm afraid.
Okay, Peter, and we are just almost out of time, but I just want to finally ask you, because we do seem to be seeing a lot more stories like this. We have the bill coming up in Parliament. We may have other court cases. How worried are you that within the next decade, the next 20 years, we will see a change in the law where assisted dying becomes legal in the UK?
Well, we've got to recognise that these cases and the cheerleading by sections of the media are happening because of a very carefully orchestrated and very well-funded campaign driven by a few pressure groups like Dignity and Dying and the British Humanist Association. This is why a hugely inordinate amount of publicity is given to anyone who wants to kill themselves, but very little is given to good palliative care or to the vast majority of people who don't want to go this route. Okay. We need to hear more about good care, good support, and that's where our money needs to be going. Okay. And we need to keep the law we've got.
Peter Saunders, General Secretary of Christian Medical Fellowship and a member of Kenlock Killing, thank you very much for your time today and your insights here on Premier's News Hour.
It's a pleasure.